Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
I'm Adam, one of your hosts, and I've got my beautiful wife with me, Brianna. Hello.
Hello, so great to be here.
And tonight we have Heather with us as well.
Hi, everyone. Nice to be here.
And could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please, Heather?
Well, I'm a Guymere Baptist person from years back. And for the last 25 years, I've been living overseas. I work as a missionary with an organization called OM International.
Okay, nice.
Does the OM stand for anything?
Yeah.
Well, it used to stand for Operation Mobilization, but then I think we decided that mobilization sounded a little bit too military, so so we just flicked to OM.
Okay. Amazing. And what does OM do?
We are all over the world. We're in 128 different countries, and we do church planting, evangelism, relief and development. We're working with refugees. We're doing sports ministry and kids ministry and youth ministry. You name it, we're doing it.
Oh, that's amazing. A big list, isn't it? Awesome. Yeah.
And when I heard you mention relief and development. What is that?
Well, to give you a really good example, at the moment we've got people on the borders of Ukraine. Our teams in Romania and Moldova and Poland and Hungary are welcoming refugees as they come across the border. Providing tea and coffee. They're helping with transport, charging mobile phones, all that kind of stuff. And in Ukraine itself, we're working alongside the local church to give food packages and accommodation to people who are fleeing the war.
Oh, wow. That's so encouraging to hear that. There's actually help for people in those dire straits, right? Mm. So hard to go. I can't even imagine what it would be like to having to go through that. But to be greeted by someone on the other side that's going to help you would be great. It would be a great help.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see the church in Eastern Europe step up and really just reach out to their neighbours.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
Mm, amazing.
What is something people might not know about you?
Well, my lockdown hobby, everybody had a lockdown hobby, right?
Yep,
lockdown hobby was crochet. So I've taught myself, my grandmother taught me to crochet when I was about five, but yep. I never got beyond a chain. And so now I'm, crocheting cardigans and jumpers. And
good on you.
Yeah, I got quite good, I have to say.
What's been your favourite?
Had plenty of time, I guess, to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah.
What's been your favourite thing to make so far?
Yeah.
Probably what I'm in the middle of now, which is a cardigan. It's probably going to take me at least another year to finish, but it's kind of fun.
Cool. Yeah. And is that for you or for somebody else?
It's probably for me.
Oh, very nice. Mm.
It'll be all the colours you like, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah. I bought the wool before I knew what I would do with it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
You'll have to send us a photo.
or like maybe various variations of it. Like, this is where I got up to now and this is the next step.
Yeah, status reports on Facebook.
Yeah, status reports. Exactly.
Are you into any other like yarn art?
Or I've knitted for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something I find it's good to keep my hands busy. So, yeah, great. Anything like that is good.
Yeah, and it must feel really good, when you've finished your project and you've made something useful and something that, can be used and people will wear or.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you get to give it away as well and that's always fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm. It's the generosity of you coming out. Yeah. That's nice. One of Brianna's cousins does crocheting too.
She's
really good at it.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Mm. It's almost not a lost art form, but I think it seems that less people are doing it, but then people come out of the woodwork like yourself. I'm like, oh, actually, maybe there's more people than I realize.
And it's actually had a big resurgence post-COVID. Like a lot of people have rediscovered
those kind of art forms and creativity outlets.
Yeah. Well, one of the great things about crochet too is that you can sit in a Zoom meeting and crochet, and if you set your camera upright, they can't actually see what you're doing.
Yeah. I love rustling it. Papers or something.
Yeah, exactly. And because it's one needle, it doesn't make any noise.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go. See? Oh, because you don't have two of them. That's
no,
it.
Exactly.
Oh,
nice.
Multitasker extraordinaire.
How good is that? Love it.
Has there been a particular book or movie or perhaps a TV series that's influenced you in your faith journey?
I wouldn't say influenced me in my faith journey that much, but a show that I'm finding really interesting at the moment is a show called The Chosen. And
okay.
I'm late to the party on this one, but it's basically looking at the gospel,
mm-hmm.
but without Jesus as the key character in the story. So, you know, when you read one of the gospel accounts, we don't think about what Zacchaeus was doing before Jesus got there. It's just all of a sudden Jesus comes, he climbs a tree.
Mm-hmm.
But what was his life like before that? And The Chosen is kind of looking at all these characters. Who were the disciples? What was their life like?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they're going around their life and then this random man walks in and says something that changes everything.
Wow.
And, it's a fascinating way to kind of think again about the gospel and
it's another
and
take
what
on it
Jesus
from a different
doing.
Angle, from the disciples' view or something.
Exactly. Okay. And how might Jesus have been perceived by the people in the community where he was?
Yeah, that's true, because you never think of being a third person, like a fly on the wall, because you get Jesus' perspective and maybe some of the disciples' perspective, but you don't get if there was a camera there, what you would see, and a bit of before and after and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And we, Jesus is a famous guy now.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
When he first arrived, he wasn't. Mm. And so it's who is this random guy who's standing in the corner telling people,
To repent.
To repent. It's just, and comes along and he turns water into wine and, how crazy that must have been for those people to witness. So it's really,
crazy.
Really worth a look.
Okay. Where can you access that?
There's an app that you download. I've got it on my TV.
Okay, cool.
So you can just download
it.
And
you can stream it.
And you can stream it, okay, cool. And it's all free.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Awesome. That sounds good. I heard that they're crowdfunded too.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they deliberately don't want a studio paying lots of money that they can keep the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep it true, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And does it go right the way through?
I'm about halfway through the first season, which I think goes up to the end of Jesus' earthly life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's a second season, which I think someone told me is about the Book of Acts.
Ooh.
Oh, interesting. Mm. There you go. Bit of a lure for people if they want to have a look.
Well, nice. It's a lure for me. I haven't got through it yet. So.
No spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah, don't come up to either and tell her how it ends, okay?
So have you always been a Christian?
Yeah, I guess, I was raised in the church. I don't remember a time in my life where I wasn't going to church. My parents were both involved in leading different ministries at the church I grew up in. So, always been at church. Yep. I think, came to know Jesus really, really young.
Yeah.
So,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
What a lovely way to grow up.
Yeah, it can be interesting though, because when you grow up in the church, you don't have the same experience of coming to Jesus brand new and going, wow, this is amazing, because you kind of always knew it. And maybe that's why I enjoy The Chosen so much, because it's all these people going, wow, that's amazing.
Right.
It's a different form of wonder when you grew up in the church and you kind of always knew this stuff.
There you go. So we know you do missions and all that kind of thing overseas with, was it OM?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you serve locally when you're back here, or do you just have a chill?
Well, I'm not here very often. I'm only here every couple of years.
Sure.
And that's usually for a thing we call home assignment, which is when I'm connecting with people who support the mission and talking with different groups. So,
nice.
Yeah. And maybe that's a form of serving locally. I'm not sure.
And what does that normally involve? I think we saw you get up on stage a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of churches that I'm partnered with, and so I go and visit them.
Yeah.
Have one-on-one coffees with people.
Oh, nice.
I'm talking to a few Bible study groups.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And do you go to a church in your local area back home?
Yeah, I live in England, mm-hmm. and so I attend a Church of England, which is very different to Guymere Baptist Church.
Yeah, that's ironic. Church of England in England.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's churches of England everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Like, so you just trip over one, you walk down the street and there's at least three. But, yeah, the church I go to is a really good community church. We're nice. Focused on serving the local community, which I really appreciate.
Oh, that's good.
And when you say it's different, what does that mean?
Well, Church of England traditionally have what's called the prayer book, which is kind of like the order of service, but it's written down. Mm-hmm. The prayers and everything are written out. And my church follows that. So okay. A normal service will have prayers that you follow the words on the screen and you read the words on the screen.
Okay.
And sometimes the vicar will lead the prayer, and sometimes the congregation will respond. Mm-hmm. You know, the service structure is much the same as here at Guymere. There's mm-hmm. singing, there's Bible reading, there's prayer, there's teaching, mm-hmm. but it's a little bit more, I almost want to say the word scripted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair yeah. enough. Do you find that helps with your walk with God, that it's a bit more, you can get into a rhythm, or do you think it's a hindrance? Or?
I think for me it was a difficult thing to get used to when I first started going there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain things in it that are really nice. Like
okay.
every single Sunday there's a time of confession.
Mm. Oh, great.
Every single week. And so you have that moment in your week, even if you've not done it the rest of the week, where you actually just sit there and have a conversation with God about sin.
That's good.
And
that's
every good week we pray the Lord's Prayer. Oh, and it's kind lovely. Of like, so there's some really nice structures and rhythms to it.
And things that you can appreciate that, because they are regular, if you forget them during your week, you're like, oh, I can do it at church.
Exactly, yeah. There's a time for that in church.
Mm. Yeah, and lovely. Together too, you know, something powerful too. About
that's right.
corporate.
Yeah, yeah definitely. Mm. Yeah. From time to time it can get a little bit, I almost want to say the word magical. It's like if you say these words, then this will be the result. And there are those who attend Church of England because that is what English people do,
mm-hmm.
right.
Not because they have faith. So sometimes it can feel a little bit hollow, but that comes down to how you are. I think how I am in myself anyway.
Each individual, I think.
Yeah, if I'm having a rough week and not feeling close to God, then I won't feel close to God in church.
That's true. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think, you know, most churches have some of those, I guess what you could say are ritualistic practices, you know, like something like communion, for example. And it's really checking in with yourself and checking in with God on, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I saying these things? Or why am I doing this action? And, you know, reflecting and coming back to that, the purpose and, you know, why we do those things and the meaning behind them. And, yeah, and I agree. It depends where sort of you're at yourself, different seasons, different things, different responses too.
Yeah, because if we're not careful, church can become a big ritual and we just come along, tick the boxes, go home again.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, and it doesn't really impact our lives. So.
Yeah.
And God's with us all the time, every day.
That's true, and God can work through even the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Has there been somebody significant who supported you in your Christian walk?
I wouldn't say there's been one person.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a tribe, right?
It does take a tribe, but, you know, there's the group of people who I think have been really influential in me have been the older generation.
Mm.
So these are people.
There's a lot of wisdom going around.
There's just a pile of wisdom
they've
going
been
around.
Longer.
People over the age of 70 are just incredible. Mm-hmm. And they've got so much wisdom and.
Yeah.
They don't hold on to things quite as tightly as we do when we're younger. Like they've just got a better perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, it's always just so encouraging to hang out with people in their 70s, 80s, even in their 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to hear their stories. Oh, and yeah. So I'd say here at Guymere, there's just a whole bunch of them who have really encouraged me and spurred me on and challenged me.
Mm.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the older generation as a group, I think.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely. And have you found that, because, you know, you mentioned that you've, you know, been a Christian from young and you were born into a Christian household and, you know, has that been something that you've sort of looked for and appreciated right the way through your life?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think, you know, we go through that stage when we're younger that where we know everything. And there is absolutely, you know, when you're 21, there is nothing that anyone over the age of 30 can say that has any wisdom whatsoever.
I know. You know, I already know it all.
Hello, people in your 20s. We do love you. But I think the older you get, the more you realise that you don't know stuff. Mm. And the more you realise that other people have had this, have had life, similar life experiences to you.
Yeah.
And so,
can,
yeah.
And you can glean from it.
Exactly. And yeah. I think the older you get, the more you realise, I think there's something in life experience that makes you be able to, as you say, glean the bits that are important from somebody else's experience.
Yeah. And hopefully learn from their mistakes instead of making the same ones.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's good. What is your take on discipleship and how do you live that out?
Well, I think at the heart of it, discipleship is that old saying, what would Jesus do?
Mm, the old bracelets, WWJD.
Yeah, yeah. And that can be a little bit simplistic sometimes, but realistically, what would Jesus do in a situation? Mm. And we don't have the straight, you can't look at the Bible for every situation and find the answer of what Jesus would do. Like, how does Jesus interact with the internet? Well, that's not actually in the Bible, so you've kind of got to extrapolate. But I look at the stories of Jesus and, you know, Jesus knew the Bible really, really well, obviously, but he didn't go around beating people over the head with it.
Yeah, true.
So much of his interactions with people were about compassion and how are you and where are you at? Mm. And we'll get to the Bible, but first we're going to have that engagement as human beings.
Mm.
And I think for me that's – for my discipleship, that's how I follow Jesus is, you know, when I'm meeting somebody or I'm in a situation, just kind of trying to figure out what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus respond to this news story?
Mm.
You know, what does Jesus want me to do with my neighbour who's playing loud music at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kind of things.
Exactly, yeah.
Those real world things too. I mean, Jesus was in amongst everyday people in everyday situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just got to know him well enough to be able to go, I know what he'd do in this point.
Yeah.
Or I can make a really good guess as to what he'd do at this point.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're meant to be always trying to be more like Christ every day. And I think, as you say, if we can, in each situation that we come across, if we can do something that Jesus would do in that situation, or even if there might be three things he may do, if we pick one of them, then we're on the right path, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm.
That's good. I think we're up to that question now. The big question.
The big question.
Does there need to be a drum roll for this?
Cha-ching at the end.
Heather, could you share with us where you've seen God at work in your life or perhaps in the people who are around you? You may have one, two, three.
Being on the missions field, there's got to be something.
Oh, that's yeah.
I mean, how do you narrow it down?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, let me tell you this story about a lady that I met in Kazakhstan.
Okay.
Her name is Botagoz.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her when I first went out as a missionary. And when you first go out as a missionary, I guess like as whenever you go into a new job and you're in your 20s, it's kind of like, I've got this, you know, I've been a Christian my whole life. I can tell people about Jesus. Then I arrive in Kazakhstan and I have no language. Like I have to learn a whole new language. So you kind of find yourself in that period kind of going, so what do I do? Like it takes months to learn a language, if not years. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? And I was part of a church planting team and we had a small house church that was happening. And Botagoz came to the house church one week and she was asking questions. She'd had a dream in which a man appeared to her and told her that she should follow Jesus.
Ah.
And Botagoz was a Muslim and she knew a little bit about Jesus because he exists in the Quran. He's mentioned in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
But she had no idea how to find out anything about Jesus. And through a long set of circumstances, she found out about our house church.
Right.
And she came and she said, I heard I could find out about Jesus here. Oh. I have to follow him. I was told to follow him.
Wow.
And I was dragged into a side room. The church was going on in the living room and we were dragged into one of the bedrooms. Mm. There was Bortagos and me and my language helper Tamara, who was also one of the elders of the church or leaders of the church.
Sure.
And so Tamara and Bortagos start talking away in Kazakh. And finally, I'm told that I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch the Jesus film with Bortagos.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sitting there keeping a Kazakh woman who I only just met company while she's watching a film about the life of Jesus in a language that I don't speak.
Mm.
Of course.
So I'm basically got nothing to do here except go, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? And I just started praying for Bortagos.
Wow.
So we get about 10 or 15 minutes into the film, and I don't know if you've ever seen the Jesus film. It's the story. I think it's based on Luke.
Okay.
The story of Jesus as told by Luke.
Okay.
And about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes into the film, we get to the part where Mary is told she's going to have a son, and the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. And at that point, Bortagos became hysterical. So I'm now sitting next to a Kazakh woman I've only just met, and she is in tears and crying and screaming, and I have no idea what's going on. So I grab Tamara. Tamara comes in. And it just turns out, once Bortagos calms down, that the man playing the angel Gabriel in the film, who is an actor, who maybe played that role 10 years ago, that's the man she saw in her dream.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's like, okay.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. It is a miracle. And
that's crazy.
And it really challenged my prayer life and changed my prayer life because, A, I'm kind of going, God, I don't know what you want me to do here and I have no language, so I don't know. And basically God was saying, you just sit there and be witness to this.
Mm.
Wow.
But then also it made me realize what I can pray for people.
And
it's something that I pray a lot now for people, particularly when I want them to come to know Jesus, that they will meet him in a dream.
Oh, beautiful.
Because it's so powerful what happens to people when they meet people in dreams. And I know quite a number of people now for whom that's happened, that it's been something in a dream that has made them realize that the thing they'd heard so many times was true or made them want to learn more about something. Yeah. And so that's, you know, it really changed my prayer life.
Well, I think it says in Joel that your young men will see visions and your old men will see dreams or something along those lines in the later days, you know. And I think it's referring to like, you know, well, it can be referring to visions of Jesus, you know, being in your life and like obviously angels coming to say, hey, you know, find out about Jesus, make sure you follow Jesus, as it were, for your, you know, friend. And it's like the Bible backs itself up with your story there. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so powerful to see God at work in that woman's life.
And fancy.
And it lined up with that particular movie that was just happening to be a resource being used at that time.
Yep.
And God's like, here you go. So what happened with her?
Yeah.
Well, she came to faith then and there.
no questions.
Exactly, yeah. It was just like, right, we're here. Like, I mean, I think she was ready for it because this guy had told her she had to follow Jesus and now this and guy now, is in the movie. So we watched the rest of the movie. So 2 hours later, she becomes a Christian and I think she was, if I remember correctly, she was part of the big baptism day we had down at the beach where we baptized about 17 or 20 Kazakh believers in Jesus that day. So it was a huge party.
That's huge.
This is back in the days when, you know, there were probably fewer than 150 Kazakh believers in the world.
Mm.
Oh, my
and she was now one of them.
So, wow. That's
so, yeah.
Amazing.
And last I heard, Bortagos was going on with Jesus.
Amazing. Oh,
praise God.
And exciting to think, you know, every time she would share that story with people around her and how that would have impacted them and hopefully encouraged them as well.
And then there might have been stories where she's gone, told the story to someone and it's happened to them.
Quite possibly.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. In that part of the world, dreams are a really powerful thing and very common. So
I think from what I can see, it breaks down the language barrier too, because they get it in their language, and then you've got interpreters and yourself or people like yourself that are there. And so the person's obviously heard it in their language that they need to follow Jesus, and they watch a film that's – well, I mean, it might have happened a different way. I mean, if it wasn't through a film, but however they find out that Jesus is real – if someone explains it to them or shows them in maybe one of their Bibles that's written in their language too, that can happen. You know, like it's just phenomenal what God will use and do to get people to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And the one person in the room who was kind of thinking, I'm a missionary, this is my job now, was completely useless.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with it at all.
But you would have been humbling though, I bet.
Yeah, very humbling. Well, and it's encouraging too.
And encouraging, yeah.
It's just a reminder that God will work how God's going to work.
That's right.
And sometimes he chooses to use us and sometimes he chooses to let us watch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah. Kind of like the TV series you were mentioning.
Yeah.
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 And with this particular story, how has this changed your life?
Well, for a start, it's definitely changed my prayer life, like I said. I'm much more willing to pray for supernatural stuff to happen.
Sure.
I did not grow up in a supernatural church. You know, there are some church traditions that have a lot of supernatural stuff in it. Mm-hmm. That was not my church tradition. But I'm a lot more willing to pray that God would do something that I can't imagine in somebody's life, or that, you know, I've prayed that God would move pieces of paper to the top of piles so that people can get stamps on their visa.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've prayed that's that cool. people would not be allowed to go to sleep until they have read this book or really done some business with God, you know. And I don't necessarily claim that God would answer every single one of those prayers. Mm. I'm sure sometimes God just goes, Heather, you have absolutely no idea what's going on, do you? Like, seriously.
But the thing is, it's your faith behind it. You've got the faith going, God, if I ask you this, you have the potential to answer me in the way I ask.
Absolutely.
God might answer it in a different way, but he's still answering your prayer.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I've seen it. God can act without human intervention anytime he wants.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, and I mean, it also gave me that – it spurred me on a lot. At that time, it was hard to see what I would be able to contribute as a missionary and to be able to go, wow, okay, I need to learn this language so that I can talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get on with this.
It encouraged you to learn the language as well and to – assimilate with the culture more, and that's great.
And at the time that Bodegos came to faith, I'd only been in Kazakhstan maybe 6 months, and I'd made a 2-year commitment, and I stayed for 10.
Wow.
Good and on that's because I could see God was at work.
Yeah. God was moving. Awesome.
Yeah. So in that time, you got to witness a lot of amazing things, I'm sure.
A lot of God coincidences, I would say.
Yeah.
And
talking about prayer, you know, if we've got people listening in who maybe don't know where to start, you know, maybe they're curious to know about praying or talking with God. How do you go about it? How do we pray? Like, how do you have that conversation with God?
Oh, that's a big question. You know, I honestly think Jesus told us how to do it.
Mm.
And we've got that. Almost everyone knows the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a poem. Mm-hmm. We just kind of rattle it off.
Yeah. It's got so much meaning though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Jesus was teaching a poem actually. Mm. I think Jesus was actually coming up with a list of topics.
Mm.
So, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, talk to God like he's a father, which for most people is a positive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that God's name would be glorified is the first thing, that his kingdom would come. What does it look like for his kingdom to come in whatever situation you're in? So it's like it's just like a checklist. But, for me the thing is you don't actually have to have it all worked out to talk to God. You can just talk to God like we're talking now.
Yeah.
And I think you don't have to tell God what you want him to do.
Mm.
So a lot of times I'll just pray. I was praying with somebody last week, and I just said, we just pray for Ukraine, Lord, and look, I don't know how you're going to do it, but could you stop the war? Mm. And it's like,
yeah, because God knows what he's doing.
Yeah, God has probably got a better plan for stopping the war in Ukraine than I could ever come up with. And it's like, and I think that's the thing. We don't have to tell God how to do something. No. We just have to ask him to do it.
Get into the throne room.
Yeah, and we don't have to be super spiritual about it. We don't have to be super smart about it. We can just...
It can be, like it says that God will even confirm your mms and like your groanings. Like we don't have to even have words forming. If we're out, if we're crying on the grounds and just can't even get any words out, the Holy Spirit will interpret what we're trying to say, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, God doesn't really need us to pray. I mean, if he is the all-powerful creator of the universe, it's not like he's sitting there going, I can't do anything till they ask.
Yeah.
It's like
Heather hasn't prayed that specific prayer right yet. So I have to wait till she does it and then I can act.
Exactly. God can do anything he wants anytime he wants. And I think really prayer is him saying, hey, I want you to be part of this and I want a relationship with you I want you to talk to me.
It's about the relationship.
Yeah. So it's not really even about the words we say. And like you said, it's, you know, we could just sit there and cry.
Yeah.
And that's a prayer as well.
Yeah. And it could be praying for others. It could be asking things or speaking things about ourselves with God or.
Yeah, absolutely. It's whatever is on our minds and on our hearts is, you know, it's. God's interested.
And I'd love to know a little bit more about your mission work. So you've been a missionary officially for how many years now?
25 years.
Amazing.
That makes me really old, I know.
Oh, that's fantastic. No,
that's encouraging though. That's great to be in that realm of helping God's work for such a long time. And quarter of a century is nothing to be balked at, but that's lovely that you've been – in that and called for to do that for such a long time.
So you said a quarter of a century and now I really feel old.
Sorry, that's where my mind goes. When 25 years comes up, I go to the quarter of a century.
I wait till it's 50.
Quarter century.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Nobody, I joined OM for 2 years.
Yeah.
And a quarter of a century later, I'm still there.
It's amazing. And you've been with them the whole time.
I have, yeah. I think
that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a lack of imagination, that is, really.
Not at all. It just shows how much you love it and it's probably taken you to so many amazing places.
Yeah, and met so many amazing people, I can imagine too.
You know what? That is the biggest blessing. I have like a front row seat to watch what God's doing in the world.
That's right.
And I get to meet some of the people that he's using to do it and call them friends. And it's like, wow, this is just amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So what was the question?
Well, how long have you been a missionary? But what is a missionary? Like, what does that look like? How did you get into it? Was it something in school you were, you know, careers day, you're like, I want to be a missionary? Or what is it? What do you get to do?
No. In fact, there's a very memorable conversation I had with God in which I explained to him that I was not going to be a missionary.
I love it when God flips things on us.
God's I make
like, well,
him
you're
going
to do it for 25 years at least, so buckle up.
Yeah, so it's just as well God doesn't show us our entire life.
That's right.
At the start, because seriously, we'd just all be going, no, I'm not doing that. So I think I may have shared this at church when I shared the other week, that I got into missions basically through going on a short term.
Okay.
And I got into going to on a short term because they were going to go to Kazakhstan for a month and then they were going to go to Moscow for 3 days. And I thought, yeah, I can do four weeks in Kazakhstan, 3 days in Moscow, yes. Mm-hmm. And that was what I was excited about, was the 3 days in Moscow, Kazakhstan, neither here nor there. And then I fell in love with Kazakhstan. I absolutely loved Kazakhstan. But one of the things that I realized, it was just before I went on this short term that I had the conversation with God about not being a missionary. And I think that was because I always had this picture in my mind of missionaries that they had their, you know, really bad clothing, like really out of style clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived in the jungle and they, you know, caught malaria and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
And they didn't own anything, you know, they didn't have any of the mod cons. And I was like, I don't want that. And then I got to Kazakhstan and I realized that it wasn't actually about the stuff that you give up to become a missionary. It's about what you have and how you use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I met missionaries in Kazakhstan who had, you know, more technology in their house than I had in mine at the time. they had friendships. They had relationships. They were certainly having an awful lot of fun. And you're just like, okay, so it's just about deciding where you're going to put your stuff. And that for me was a bit of a game changer because it was like, okay, totally different to what I thought of as a missionary. But I really think the thing that most missionaries have in common is that they just want to be people who will put themselves in a position where someone can ask them about Jesus.
Sure.
And that might mean that that somebody goes to Kazakhstan like I did, where there's lots of Muslims and very few Christians. Or it might mean that somebody sits in their office at lunchtime and has a conversation around the table with the people they work with about issues of faith.
Yeah.
They're just as much of a missionary as I am. You know, it's about going and sharing your faith.
Yeah. And what would you say to someone that might be interested in going overseas mission or even doing missions locally? What would you say to them?
I'll do it. It's the best fun. It's seriously, it's the most frustrating job in the world sometimes, but it's just also the most fun. And you do really bizarre things that you never thought you'd do. And you have adventures, serious adventures. but yeah, but the thing too is you don't have to sign up for 25 years. Just, you know, explore it. You can do, I mean, in my organization, we have 2-week opportunities. Okay. You know, you can go somewhere for two weeks.
Put your toe in and go, it's not for me, or hey, I love this and stay and do it for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, you've given up your annual holidays and discovered that that's not the thing that you should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, I got called into mission out of a short-term opportunity, but I know tons of people who've done short-term outreaches who were not called into mission. So you're not, it's not like you've signed and God's going to go,
yep,
this you're is staying. But, you know.
Yeah, you're not having to, you know, lay down your life to do missions forever. If you just want to have a look at it, you can
absolutely
do that too.
Yeah.
That's good to know, actually.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so OM, if people were interested in finding out more about the organization or how to find out about missions opportunities, where would we go?
www.om.org.
Fantastic.
How's that? That's so easy.
That is
easy. Yeah.
So everything's on the website.
Everything's on the website. But, you know, there's more organizations out there than just OM. I think OM's a great organization and I'd encourage you to start there. But, yeah, otherwise, you know, there's missions going on through the church. Talk with Belinda, or talk with Sarah and Geordie who are on the MAG team and just see what the opportunities are. In OM, we talk about mission as involving the need to pray, the need to give, and the need to go. And everyone can do one of those. So, yeah, just explore and see what there is for you.
Yeah. And so those three things, could you just unpack, you know, what those three things mean?
Okay. Well, pray. We've already talked a lot about prayer today. But, yeah, praying for missions, praying for the missionaries that are out there, praying for situations like the Ukraine, praying for Sri Lanka, praying for these other countries in the world that really need God to intervene. So that's the easy one. Then give, which is supporting missions either financially or using your skills, donating your skills and your time to mission. And then finally going, which is packing the suitcase and going somewhere or going down the street, but getting involved yourself and committing yourself to that.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And I think I really appreciated where you talked about missions, you know, because often people think to be a missionary you've got to go somewhere really far away and some distant land, and but missions could take you literally around the corner from your house.
Yeah. You know, in my organisation we're about 5,000 people. And I think we're over 50% now are serving in their home country.
Amazing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Is that in the capacity of, like, say it was in Australia, you'd be doing something for the homeless people?
Yeah.
Or is it more like in the rural areas of Australia?
Well, a lot of the people who live and work in – we don't have a huge team in Australia.
Okay.
But a lot of the people that live and work in work with OM and live in Australia are providing support ministries for them, for OMers overseas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool.
But we do also have a team that's working with people in the inner west of Sydney,
mm-hmm.
With a lot of the multicultural faiths. We do have some people who are running a teen discipleship program in Queensland. We have some people who are connected with some of the more remote communities up in the Northern Territory as well.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So fantastic. Yeah, so, you know, if you've got a heart for missions in your local community, there's definitely opportunities.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you feel that God's prompting you to go far and wide, that's available too.
Yeah, and if you don't know what you should do,
yeah,
just talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
ask a question.
Ask questions.
Suss it out.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And Heather, will you be around for a little bit longer if people wanted to, you know, saw you around and wanted to have a chat?
Not really, no. I'm actually heading back to the UK in the next couple of weeks. So I'm at the end of my time here, which is a shame.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you and get, you know, on today. And, you know, you spoke at church a few weeks ago and we got to hear a little bit more about what you're doing and OM. And, you know, we wish you all the best and safe travels back.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll see you again in a few years' time, I hope.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. One last thing before you go.
Mm.
How are you following Jesus? How is Heather following Jesus?
Oh, how is Heather following Jesus? Not as well as she'd like to, if I'm completely honest, but I think that's probably true for most people, at least some of the time.
Yeah, we're all
having issues. Yeah, I mean, for me, I live in a community where easily 90% of the community would say that they're either atheist or they know God already. So for me, I'm trying to know Jesus as well as I can,
mm-hmm.
and then look for opportunities to just build relationships and friendships in my local community.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I don't know if we have time for one more story.
We do.
Yeah.
Always time for
a story. Well, one of the ways that I'm trying just to build relationships is I'm volunteering at the op shop that my church runs. Think Vinny's, but think tiny. and, you know, it's one of those things. I've just volunteer and I go and sort donations on a Friday.
Oh, cool.
And I work with the best bunch of people. I call them the Friday crew.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
They're my girls. There's three of us and we just get on so well, which is really lovely. Neither of them are believers in Jesus.
Okay.
And it's just that working alongside them,
mm-hmm.
and building up friendships, and, you know, they know I pray for them because I tell them, and, yeah, you know, and they know that I'm also there for them and I'm not going to be pushing myself on them. And I don't know what God's going to do with that, but there's two people in Carlisle who have a friend who's a Christian. And so, you know,
that's nice.
Yeah. So that's one of the ways that I just try and build those friendships, see what happens.
How good's that? That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Heather. It was a really pleasure to have you on and learning all about missions and your life and that cool story about the angel coming to, how do you say their name again?
Botagos.
Oh, that was fascinating. And
very powerful.
Yeah, definitely. All the best with your travels.
Thanks very much. It's been great to chat.
Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymere Baptist Church, please check out the Guymere Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.